Hi everyone. In this episode, I'll talk about Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones by James Clear. Atomic Habits is a life-changing bestseller and one of my all-time favorite books. I'm sure all of us struggled at some point in time to either cultivate a new habit or get rid of an old one. Every new year, I used to make new resolutions and tried to stick to them diligently for a few weeks. And then few slips and I would fall back to my old routine. Reading this book helped me to understand where I was going wrong. The book is like an operating manual that explains the science of how to create and change your habits in a way that is easy to understand and apply. It offers a good explanation for how your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs impact our behavior. So in that sense, it's an integrated model of the cognitive and behavioral sciences. Let me take you through my favorite parts of the book, the highlighted parts that I keep going back to refer to my key takeaways. What makes this book so credible is that the lessons here are born out of author's personal journey that helped him from a medically induced coma in high school accident to being selected as top male athlete at his university and awarded the university's highest academic honor as well. Given how seriously he was injured, a gradual evolution and a long series of small wins and tiny breakthroughs was the only way he could make progress. Because the only choice he had was to start small. Hence the name Atomic Habits. They're little habits that are part of a larger system. Just as atoms are building blocks of molecules, atomic habits are the building blocks of remarkable results. They're both small and mighty. The premise of this book is that the changes that seem small and unimportant at first will compound into remarkable results if you're willing to stick with them for years. Habits are compound interest of self-improvement, the book says. They seem to make little difference on any given day, yet the impact they deliver over months and years can be enormous. Unfortunately, this slow pace of transformation also makes it easy to let a bad habit slide. For example, if you eat an unhealthy meal today, the scale doesn't move much. So your outcomes are a lagging measure of your habits. Your net worth is a lagging measure of your financial habits. Your weight is a lagging measure of your eating habits. Your knowledge is a lagging measure of your learning habits. Your clutter is a lagging measure of your cleaning habits, and so on. You get what you repeat. The book urges the readers to forget about goals and focus on systems instead. Goals are about the results you want to achieve. Systems are about the processes that lead to these results. Goals are good for setting a direction, but systems are best for making progress. You do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your system, the book argues wisely. There's also a fascinating theory about identity and how it plays a role in habit forming. The book makes a compelling argument that with outcome-based habits, the focus is on what you want to achieve. With identity-based habits, the focus is on who you wish to become. The ultimate form of intrinsic motivation is when a habit becomes a part of your identity. It's one thing to say, "I am the type of person who wants this." It's something very different to say, "I am the type of person who is this." True behavior change is identity change, the book states. You might start a habit because of motivation, but the only reason you'll stick with one is that it becomes part of your identity. The backbone of this book is a four-step model of habits: cue, craving, response, and reward. First, there is cue. The cue triggers your brain to initiate a behavior. Cravings are the second step. They are the motivational force behind every habit. Without some level of motivation or desire, without craving a change, we have no reason to act. The third step is the response. The response is the actual habit you perform, which can take the form of a thought or an action. Finally, the response delivers a reward. Rewards are the end goal of every habit. If a behavior is insufficient in any of these four stages, it will not become a habit. There are also four rules of behavior change. that a simple set of rules we can use to build better habits. They are 1. Make it obvious. 2. Make it attractive. 3. Make it easy. And 4. Make it satisfying. They're so well elaborated in the book that I would do a disservice if I tried to summarize them here. So I would really urge you to read the book for this magic recipe for building great habits as well as breaking bad ones. Moving on. One of our greatest challenges in changing habits is maintaining awareness of what we are actually doing. This helps explain why the consequences of bad habits can sneak upon us. The book says that we need a point and call system for our personal lives. For example, you want to cut back on your junk food habit, but notice yourself grabbing another cookie, say out loud, "I'm about to eat this cookie, but I don't need it. Eating it will cause me to gain weight and hurt my health." Hearing about your habit spoken aloud makes the consequences seem more real. It also adds weight to the action rather than letting yourself mindlessly slip into an old routine. Another important tool given in the book is implementation intention, which is a plan you make beforehand about when and where to act. Because the two most important cues are time and location. Implementation intentions leverage both of these cues. People who make a specific plan for when and where they will perform a new habit are more likely to follow through. The book also reveals why self-control is a short-term strategy. You may be able to resist temptation once or twice, but it's unlikely you can muster up willpower to override your desires every time. So the secret to self-control is to make the cues of your good habits obvious and cues of your bad habits invisible. When it comes to habit building, the book cautions how the best is the enemy of the good. When preparation becomes a form of procrastination, you need to change something. You don't want to be merely planning, you want to be practicing. If you want to master a habit, the key is to start with repetition, not perfection. The book points out that when you dream about making a change, excitement inevitably takes over and you end up trying to do too much too soon. An effective way to counteract this tendency is what the book calls the 2-minute rule. When you start a new habit, it should take less than 2 minutes to do. Anyone can meditate for a minute or read one page or walk for 2 minutes. And that is a powerful strategy because what you want is a gateway habit that naturally leads you down a more productive path. Your goal might be to run a marathon, but your gateway habit is to put on your running shoes. That's how you follow the 2-minute rule. Start small, in baby steps. The point is to master the habit of showing up. If you can't learn the basic skill of showing up, then you have little hope of mastering the final details. Instead of trying to engineer a perfect habit from the start, do the easy thing on a more consistent basis. The book also reveals another interesting fact that the consequences of bad habits are delayed while the rewards are immediate. With our bad habits, the immediate outcome usually feels good, but the ultimate outcome feels bad. While with good habits, it is the reverse. The immediate outcome is unenjoyable, but the ultimate outcome feels good. So to put it another way, the cost of your good habits are in present, while the costs of your bad habits are in the future. This is where my favorite paragraph of the book comes. It says, "Our preference for instant gratification reveals an important truth about success. Because how we are wired, most people will spend all day chasing quick hits of satisfaction. The road less traveled is the road of delayed gratification. If you are willing to wait for the rewards, you will face less competition and often get a bigger payoff. As the saying goes, the last mile is always the least crowded." I hope I've inspired you enough to read this book. That is, if you haven't read it yet. It is life-changing in true sense. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to my podcast for more recommendations like this and insightful conversations with India's most enterprising startup founders and brand builders. Happy reading, everyone.